Hi, this is Dr. Mike Chupp, and you are listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Well, if you've been listening to our interviews this month, you've probably noticed that we have focused especially on missions. It's because we're leading up to our Remedy 22 Medical Missions Conference, which is happening this upcoming weekend in Riverside, California. Before we jump into today's interview, I want to encourage you to pray about attending this conference because there's still time to register. And if you're wanting to attend but you can't make it all the way to California, we're going to be live streaming the plenary sessions. If you'd like to register or just find out some more information, visit cmda.org/remedy today. We're finishing up our focus on missions with a rather unique interview. I'm actually joined by a panel of three doctors, two physicians and a dentist, whom we've specifically invited to join us today because each one of them followed God's call to get involved with healthcare missions in their own unique way during the latter parts of their careers. Let's listen in to our recent conversation with these three docs. Well, today on CMDA Matters, we're doing something just a little bit different. We actually have a panel of three guests. My guests are Dr. Greg Ekbom, who's a retired general and vascular surgeon, born in Minnesota and then trained and practiced in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. In 2011, Greg returned to Minnesota, where he served as the director of clinical education at Bethel University PA program for 7 years. He began to do during that time some annual short-term medical mission trips to both Chogoria, Kenya, near Mount Kenya, and then Goma, the Democratic Republic of Congo. And he focused on teaching surgery, his specialty. He retired from Bethel in 2019 and started a nonprofit called Dignity for the Amputee International, found at limbfit.org. And their goal and mission is to build prosthetic fabrication labs, provide teaching and materials for local trainees, and support and encourage an amputee and their families and communities while sharing the love of Christ and the gospel of grace in Africa and developing countries. Joining us also today is Dr. Philip Aday. Goes by Phil. He graduated from Baylor College of Dentistry in 1986. He served as a general dental officer in the U.S. Army for 8 years and then began a general dental practice in Oklahoma for 27 years in private practice. Phil's claim to fame is he has been on 40 overseas mission trips with our very own CMDA Global Health Outreach Program, serving on 6 continents. He's actually this year, as we come, hopefully, God willing, out of this COVID pandemic, planning on serving on 5 GHO teams this year. And also volunteers with the Body of Christ Community Dental Clinic in Belton, Texas. His goal is to continue serving domestically and internationally using dentistry as a means to share the gospel. And last but certainly not least, Dr. Lorraine Milio is an OBGYN who's been at Johns Hopkins for more than 25 years. She has served as a consultant within the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology, also focuses on maternal fetal medicine, and then has been obstetrical director at the Center for Addiction and Pregnancy at Johns Hopkins Bayview Medical Center as well. She comes highly recommended as someone who has been very involved and enjoys teaching in a cross-cultural setting overseas. So it is a great privilege, Greg, Phil, and Lorraine, to have you as my esteemed panel today. Welcome to CMDA Matters.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Our emphasis today for our listeners' benefit is what Dr. Doug Lindberg, who's the director of our Center for Advancing Healthcare Missions, has called our capstone program. And I'm sure you're familiar with the term capstone, each one of you, that it's sort of a way to finish, if you will, or the completion of a period of time, a successful way to bring completion to a focus in healthcare or whatever have you, whatever profession in life. And so at CMDA, we're really wanting to be a catalyst for our listeners, those who have been practicing, have been successful in whatever specialty, as each one of you has. And so I wanted to ask you, if you would let our listeners hear, how has God opened doors that you would never have expected or blessed you in ways that you could not have imagined as a result of your involvement in healthcare missions during the latter halves of your career. Lorraine, can you get us started?
If I can go back a little further than the last half of my career, for the very beginning, I was interested in missions from high school, and I ended up through a series of events actually spending my first 2 years of medical school in the Philippines, and spent all my free time with missionaries traveling to the barrios and around the Philippines. And one of the things I've found that God did for me during that time was not only give me a good medical school foundation, but also really cross-acculturated me, which really laid the cornerstone for me being able to do short-term missions in the future. Going into academic medicine, it was difficult to do much in the way of full-time medical missions, but I started really getting involved in mission trips shortly after finishing my fellowship training. And I've been doing short-term, usually two-week sessions through MEI, starting with, actually, I was on the first COAMEA, which is the predecessor to MEI.
Yes.
In 1990 with Dr. Jonathan Askew, and we were, a whole team of us were teaching inclusion of POCA in Romania. And I find that the older I get and more experience I get, the even more fun it is to interact with professionals in other countries and be able to exchange information and really meet them where they are and what they themselves want to learn. And I find that is very exciting.
Phil, how would you answer the question? How has God blessed you and surprised you on this path?
From early on, I've had an adventurous spirit and a desire to see all of God's creation and travel all over the world. And it's been a blessing to be able to merge my wanderlust for travel with the provision of dental care all around the world. And it's been such a blessing to, you know, the psalmist says that he will give us the desires of our hearts. And so my heart's desire has been to help people dentally, but not just from a humanitarian standpoint, but to also use that as a means to share the gospel all around the world. Even in closed countries where we can't openly evangelize, we are still allowed almost every time to pray with patients with their permission, and we can pray in the name of Jesus.
Greg.
My interest really started early in my professional career because I joined a surgical practice with individuals who were committed to short-term mission work. And so from the beginning, I had colleagues, role models that really stimulated and encouraged me to be involved early on with short-term missions. And then I also attended a church in Milwaukee that was very strong in its missions outreach. And so we had people coming from all over the world at our missions festivals and during the year, and they seemed to all stay at my house. And so that lights the fire. And then the other thing that opened the doors for me, quite honestly, I've heard someone say recently, out of our greatest pain comes our greatest callings. And so in the last 10 years, I lost my wife from a ruptured brain aneurysm.
Oh, wow.
And then I lost my son here within the last 3 years as well. He happened to be an amputee just a few months before he died. And so that has opened up now the opportunity for me to travel and also to start a nonprofit working with amputees in developing countries. So, you know, it's something that is unique to me in a way that God has prepared me and called me in a whole different way.
You know, I've heard that story. Actually, on a number of occasions, Greg, maybe Beauty from Ashes, just really difficult valleys, and have worked side by side, especially over the years in Kenya with men in particular, though I've come across some women in service also, but men who've lost their wives and found just a new purpose and a reason to keep going in discovering either short or long-term missions. What attributes for any one of you, I'll leave the floor open here for anyone to answer. What attributes do you think that healthcare workers that who are later in their careers might have that would actually make them pretty well suited to do what you have done? What have you noticed in yourself as well as in others who've joined you on this path?
One thing is that you're very comfortable in what you do professionally as a physician, for me also as someone who teaches in medicine. So I remember one experience where I went to a hospital that we normally did not go to in Mongolia, but they had heard my last lectures and they said, you have 2 hours. I said, what do you want to hear? And I showed them my talks. They told me what they wanted. And we just talked for 2.5 hours. And I found, you know, that's something I couldn't have done as easily 20 years earlier. Mm. So just that. And then also I find that people who have been more experienced, who have certainly have gone on MEIs, tend to have traveled and just have more cultural awareness. And that really helps one to be able to really jump in and meet felt needs. And that's one of the things I've always appreciated about MEI.
Thanks, Lorraine. Greg, you had something to share?
Yeah, you know, I think teaching is, for all of us in medical and dental fields, providers, I think teaching is in our DNA. I think it comes naturally for all of us. But as I think about it, I think this attribute of being what I would call a lifelong learner who loves to listen, mm-hmm. I think is really critical here, because that whole approach, that curiosity, not only learning about medicine, but also learning about culture and interacting with people in the community, outside of the medical community, is really important. The other attribute, I think, is having a humble spirit. And that's really critical in a setting in the developing world, wherever you are. Having that attribute is critical, I think.
Thank you. Excellent observations. Phil, anything to add?
Well, I would say dentistry is somewhat different, obviously, than medicine. But if a practitioner has been in private practice for a number of years in dentistry, it is very easy to translate those skills internationally, regardless of language. It's somewhat very easy and apparent when you're on the mission field and people have come to you because they have a dental problem. Most times, even without a translator, if a person has a diseased, non-restorable tooth and they're in pain, it's very forthcoming and evident to be able to treat that patient, even with the challenges of language. And if a doctor, if a dentist is willing to step out of their comfort zone and serve overseas with a willing spirit, then they can accomplish so much in alleviating pain. You know, dental disease is, I believe, the number one malady worldwide. And it is so treatable from a dentist standpoint, where we can enact immediate alleviation of pain.
What have each one of you discovered over time in terms of going back maybe to the same place, repeated involvement in a particular place or ministry, and how has that added to the value of that ministry? Or do you have a completely different perspective at all and say, wow, I find it very advantageous to go to lots of different ministry sites and to meet lots of different people and share with all kinds of places, because there are so many sites and places, countries, ministries that have need?
Well, I can speak to that. Global Health Outreach over the years has gone back to the same sites and partnered with the same in-country either pastor or missionary. And for trip participants or for myself, who, if I've gone back to a particular country that will remain unnamed because it's in the Middle East, I've been there probably 6 times, and it's really very easy to plug in immediately and to start serving the people. On 2 occasions with trips 1 year after another, I saw the same family twice over a period of 2 years. And I jokingly commented to some of my colleagues, they've kept their dental appointments more frequently than some of my regular patients back in the United States. So I think there is an aspect, if you have a target population that sometimes is going to be the same, you can begin to develop closer relationships with those individuals and with the volunteers and translators with whom you're interacting.
Yeah. And the relationships can continue on much more easily after you go, because this physician, this dentist is, well, they're likely to come back and be with us again. Dr. Milio.
Even though my heart's really in the Middle East, something just really pinged inside me to get involved. And so I went in 1999, and I've made 9 trips into Mongolia since then. And the thing which I have found is building on the relationships with my colleagues over there. And so they know exactly what I bring to the table, and they know exactly how to utilize me. Mm-hmm. And they also trust me. After I was there maybe 4 or 5 trips, they brought me in to help them rewrite policies. And they said, we don't normally have outsiders do that, but you've been here multiple times and you understand us. And one of the curious things was they had this woman who died of severe preeclampsia, and they invited me to her autopsy, which was an interesting experience, but it was, for them, they were communicating to me that I wasn't an outsider. And I think that level of trust you can only build over multiple visits. And it's just really exciting because it really maximizes your use of time, but also you can just really build on relationships and sharing. And so I think it's really valuable.
Great insight. Dr. Ekbong?
Yeah, I really agree with Lorraine's assessment, and the word to trust, working together with colleagues is something that builds up. You know, there's another aspect of this as a general and vascular surgeon. Yeah, you know, my training did not include a lot of orthopedics, didn't include pretty minimal neurosurgery. And as I went to Chagoria and even to Goma, I was scrubbing in on a lot of orthopedic trauma. I was scrubbing in on head trauma. And I was being taught how to handle and take care of things that was in my residency. And as I learned this, the day came when I went over, and there was a resident strike in Kenya. And the two Kenyan surgeons that I work with, when I arrived, they said, "We are exhausted. We need a break. Would you take the responsibility for the surgical service for the next 2 weeks?" And I said, "Absolutely. Go with your families and I'll hold down the fort." And lo and behold, it was orthopedic trauma, and I had to put in burr holes and for head trauma. But I had learned from them the previous 3 years what they had now taught me, and so I could handle it. So I became the student and learned from them, and was able then to serve them and the hospital because of that trust that had built up. And so I guess a whole different perspective. And now we were trying to build a fabrication lab for prosthetics at those locations. We already have this trust relationship built up, and it's there. They trust me. I trust them. I know the trainees that we're working with. And so I have found it is invaluable to have that relationship already formed now.
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. Thank you. Extremely good insight. And I observed the same thing over a couple of decades as I would watch repeat visitors coming back, and that trust, the even my own trust as medical director to allow, as Lorraine, you've said, to fit in and maybe help with a project or a proposal or some sort of policy that would be written. You know, we've been hearing a lot about surges in the last 12 or 24 months in this COVID pandemic. And I was sharing with a good friend of mine the other day, a president of a sending agency, and I said, I think it's about time for us to be talking about a surge in volunteers who are willing to serve in missions. And this pandemic is going to go away. Let's prepare for the surge. And I mentioned earlier that CMDA wants to be a catalyst. And Webster says that catalyst is an agent that provokes or speeds significant change or action. So I've got three agents here with me today on this program. How would you prod, let's not say provoke, but how would you prod someone listening today? They've got interest maybe in responding, becoming more involved in missions, but they're not sure where to start. How would you prod them right now today?
Well, Mike, I would say if they expressed an interest, depending on what their interest is, if it's teaching, then certainly they need to be steered toward MEI. If it's for short-term mission trips where they actually provide care, Global Health Outreach partners with Service Reef, and they publish an annual calendar or a continually updated calendar that lists all of the GHO trips that are being undertaken for the entire year. And a person that has an interest can go and look at all the different trips that are available. They can look at the services that are going to be provided, the providers that are needed. In most instances, the trip lists the particular country location. If it's a sensitive closed country, then it's just listed by geography. And then there is a contact listed for each particular trip. The team leader is listed with their phone number and email, and a person can reach out. The other thing I would say, if you have a personal relationship with someone who expresses an interest, then encourage them to come alongside you. If you have a trip planned, either for teaching or for ministry through GHO for short-term missions, and that's a great way to say, if you're interested, come with me on this trip. I can serve as a mentor. I can come alongside you and take away some of that fear of the unknown, at least from a dental standpoint. So many of the colleagues that I try to encourage to come along beside me or serve on a short-term trip are just so overwhelmed with, how do I do dentistry in a mission setting where I don't have the infrastructure that I'm used to? How can I even do that? And you can take your experience and say, come alongside me and work with me, and I'll show you that it can be done and it can be very rewarding.
Along that see one, do one, teach one philosophy that we've all heard.
Yes.
Dr. Melio.
I would build on what Phil has said. I think it's really important to go for a first trip with someone who's more experienced, who has done some sort of mission work in medicine or dentistry, and really spend the first trip just listening and learning. And it doesn't really matter where in the world it is, but to get comfortable being in a foreign setting and just learning what the interaction is and what the role is. Because I think so often as physicians, I know I've been approached by a missions team, you know, come be our physician on the team. And I think that can be very overwhelming if someone has never been overseas. I think it's so much better to team up, either going to a mission hospital and being there for a few weeks, or going on some sort of short-term missions, I think is a really nice low-key way to get acculturated and comfortable with being overseas without feeling that you're being overwhelmed, which I think is really critical to encouraging people to keep going back.
When I started this nonprofit and put everything together with the legal challenges, et cetera, I began to think and I began to pray, Lord, show me what the next step is. Show me the next step to take. And I began to pray and committed this whole thing to him, acknowledging that this is entirely his work, completely. And as I began, I came across something in John 5 that really hit me. And it's where Jesus has just, you know, he's at the pool of Bethesda, and he tells the lame man, take up your mat and walk. And he did. And after this, Jesus found him in the temple and shared with him even more fully of what this was all about. But Jesus immediately was confronted by all of the religious leaders, and they wanted to know what he was doing. And his response was, to me, really good, which was, he said, my Father is always working, and I too am working. And then he says, two verses later, and the Son can do nothing without the Father. But the Father shows the Son what he's doing because the Father loves the Son. Obviously, my paraphrase.
It's okay. But, it's a good paraphrase.
but I saw that and I thought, you know, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to find out where God is already working, what organization, what individual that he's already working, and I'm going to go and I'm going to initiate a conversation, and I'm going to say, I see God working in you. How can I come alongside you and find my niche and help you do what you're doing? And then would you join me in what we're doing? And I think that if we really want to find out where we belong, I think start praying and say, Lord, open the door. And show me where you're working and in whom and what organization. And go to the Global Health Missions Conference.
Good idea.
In Louisville. Yes. And interact. I went to World Medical Mission, Samaritan's Purse, and which I already had a relationship. And I said, who's working with prosthetics in the developing world, especially hard areas? Put me in contact. Well, I have 4 other organizations, and we're all in this together.
Yes.
But I think that would be how I would approach. Start with prayer, and then let your obedience be, instead of a reluctant obedience, let it be a wholehearted obedience when God opens the door, because he will. And that's how I would approach this.
Yeah, Greg, I have to tell you that I tried to use that scripture that you mentioned from John 5 on my wife the other day. She wasn't buying it. I said, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. She said, no, I'm not going to let you get by with that one. Lorraine?
One of the things I was thinking of, I think is so important, is if you're interested in going overseas and working, getting to know people who are different from you in your own locality, I think, where you're living, I think is so critical, because often as Americans, we just assume the rest of the world thinks like we do. And often we're not even comfortable if we're surrounded by people who are totally different from us. And being able to get some of that comfort level, even within our own community, I think is really, really valuable, because we realize that people come to conclusions differently. They don't go from A to D through B and C. They may go through X and Y. And appreciating the fact that their health belief systems are different, I think it goes a long way. And of course, to what you were talking about at the very beginning, a certain sense of humility is just really important. But it's hard for us as Americans sometimes to have a comfort level of being in a place where we're just with foreigners. And, you know, trying that out even at home, I think is helpful. Mm.
Dr. Ade, your thoughts?
Well, something came to mind in what Lorraine said. In Global Health Outreach, because of the number of trips that they do intentionally encourage first-timers, providers to serve in perhaps Central America. Global Health Outreach has a full-time director in Nicaragua, and the trips to Nicaragua that GHO does are shorter in length, just a week, and a lot of the infrastructure as far as dental is already there in terms of not having to carry equipment. Usually there's a Nicaraguan dentist that we partner with, and those trips serve as an entry level to introduce someone interested in serving overseas in missions to help it not be a one and done trip, but to whet their interest, to make it possible to, for them to see that it is possible to serve. And then after they've served in a location like that, then we try to encourage those people to step out even further and serve in areas where it's more difficult to get people to serve, Africa or the Middle East. But we don't typically, I say we, Global Health Outreach does not, just like Lorraine said, they don't encourage a person to go on one of those harder trips as their first time trip. That can sometimes lead to a person getting discouraged because of the challenges, and they're one and done and you never see them again.
Well, I've been having a great conversation here with Dr. Phil Adey, Dr. Greg Ekbom, and Dr. Lorraine Milio, talking about a capstone emphasis at CMDA of healthcare professionals who love the Lord, following in obedience and serving overseas in different ways. And I'm reminded of how Paul said to possibly his favorite church, the Thessalonians, "I cannot possibly thank God enough for you." And I feel the same way about each one of you. Thank you for taking time out of each one of your afternoons to join us today on CMDA Matters. And as I've been thinking about this concept of the capstone emphasis, the scripture, you've been sharing scriptures with me, the scriptures from 1 Peter chapter 2, where Peter's talking about the living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God and very precious to him. And then he says, "You also, Christians, are like living stones being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices, and might I add, professional sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And then in verse 9, a couple verses later, "But each one of you and all of those who are serving under the CMDA umbrella and other organizations," you mentioned Samaritan's Purse earlier, Greg, "but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, in order that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Thank you for bringing the hope and healing of Jesus Christ to the world through your experience and your passion over these past many years. God bless each one of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I certainly hope you enjoyed that discussion with our panel of guests today. I'm sure we could have talked for hours and heard so many of their great stories of how God directed their steps to serve on mission. After all, healthcare missions is integrated into the DNA of CMDA and our members. But our conversation was about so much more than just personal stories about their work on a particular mission field. I was so impressed by their commitment and their willingness to follow God's call into cross-cultural missions in the latter half of their careers in healthcare. It's just so intriguing to see how God opened their eyes and asked them to get involved in their own unique ways, using their life experiences and passions to make a huge difference. That's what a program we call Capstone is all about. Capstone is a new initiative of CMDA. It's focused on helping our members pause, step back, and consider how they want to live, practice, and do ministry in the latter parts of their careers. A number of healthcare professionals in their 50s and 60s find themselves with bandwidth that they lacked in prior years to get involved. Might this actually be you? Perhaps your kids are grown, your debts are paid down, and your clinical practice has some flexibility, but you still have tread on your tires, so to speak. Perhaps you wonder how God might use you in a different way from your previous work in a clinic or a hospital. Amazing opportunities exist to utilize your skills for kingdom purposes. Even if you've never been on a mission trip before, your clinical and life experience could truly be an incredible asset to communities and facilities in desperate need of healthcare professionals just like you. Might you be willing to give a few years to help get a residency established or strengthened on the continent of Africa? Could you do serial short-term trips to the same facility a few times each year to provide education to the staff and a respite for the long-term missionaries who are there? Could you lead a global health outreach team or join Medical Education International's advisory council? Would you be willing to give 25% of your time even to a Christian-free clinic or a crisis pregnancy center right here in the U.S.? Would you consider shifting your goals and your timeline to heed Jesus' call to help the poor, the outcast, the marginalized, and the lost? While participating in Capstone might require some adjustments, we read about different seasons of life in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and retirement is just not one of them. It's important to remember that a call from God doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not one size fits all. But the sameness for each one of us is our willingness to open our hearts and ask our Heavenly Father this one question: what would you have me to do, Lord? It's a willingness to commit yourself fully to God's kingdom work, perhaps in a different way than you did earlier in your career, friend. If this interview resonated with you, would you consider taking the next step? Pray and fast. Talk with your spouse or your friend. Then visit cmda.org/capstone to indicate your interest. Doing so is not a promise, it's not a commitment, but it will help us connect you with resources to further explore how God might just be leading you in this area. And as you're praying, please don't forget about Remedy 22 this weekend in California. We're going to be live streaming the 6 plenary sessions, so just visit cmda.org/remedy to register now. Well, we'll be back next week with another great interview featuring 2 CMDA members who are actively involved in our family medicine section. If you are in family medicine, I don't think you want to miss it. And even if you're a patient and frustrated about all the red tape involved with insurance coverage, and you'd like to hear about an alternate paradigm in primary care, you also might just want to listen in as well. We always love getting suggestions for future guests on this program, so please email us at cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like our podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share us on your favorite social media platform today. As I bring today's episode to a close, I'd like to leave you with a recent comment from a member who participated on an MEI trip last year. That individual said, "Each day, I met with new medical students and heard about their passion to practice medicine. God opened doors and the gospel was shared many times. The trip brought much gratitude to my heart. You know, the value of traveling and serving alongside people is priceless. Besides learning much about the people and culture, I heard their cry for hope in their darkness. I was reminded that I serve the God of the nations, and He hears the cry of His people. Taking the time to go and serve has shown me the beauty of God's kingdom and the love that He has for all His children." I want to ask you, are you willing to follow in their footsteps and commit to being open to God's call on your life and your career? It is that willingness to commit yourself in perhaps a different way than you did earlier on in your career. And through that commitment, you can bring the hope and healing of Christ to our world through your practice in healthcare. I want to believe that there in your heart, that is a vision that matters to you. It is at the heart of what matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. We'll see you next week if Jehovah Rapha, our healer, wills it. Bye for now.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.